Scene 5. In the court of the Vector.
The doors of my TARDIS opened, and I stood in the dimness of the galaxy spread across half the sky, blotted out in one circular spot by the black sun from which a strange, intense heat but no light emanated. The air was filled with a sickly smell, reminding me of bad breath. I braced myself and stepped outside. The TARDIS had landed inside the presidential courtyard, or however the Vector may have called his residence. He had made no effort to conceal the position of his headquarters, and he had not taken any measures to prevent anybody from landing. No interference shields, no temporal ripplers. He had made it a smooth ride for me. Apparently, the Vector hadn't had time or inclination to leave his mark on the architecture of the planet. For a residence, he simply had taken over an existing building. That seemed, at first glance, an almost modest move, until I realized this had not been the central of the previous dignitaries of Homeworld, but a temple, a sacral building. The Vector hadn't installed himself as just any run-of-the-mill power-crazed dictator. He had made himself their god. I swallowed. Minutes after I had stepped out, doorways began to spew out several platoons of uniformed Eloi in good order. As they took position around the courtyard, I wondered if it would have been better to show up a bit more discreetly. But the guards showed little aggression. Three of the more ornately decorated of them, officers by all appearances, stepped towards me and honored me with some obscure kind of salute. Now I understood and allowed myself to relax a little. These guards were not sent to capture or kill me. They were the welcoming committee. Was the Vector, after all, not such a bad person if he invited me in this cordial manner, when he could just the same have me gunned down in an instant? I was led through the inner portal by the guards, which were reasonably polite with me, no shoving, no manhandling. We then went through a large hall. At the best of times, Homeworld was lit by only the dim twilight, the perpetual dusk from the central galaxy. Here in the halls, it was naturally even darker, and statues and paintings in the niches and alcoves were nothing but shapeless schemes, shadows of shadows, not the images, but the ideas of gods and demons, which had been superseded by the Vector. We entered the sanctuary, and here I saw him for the first time. Only a single candle lit the room, like a vestige of the times when the Vector had been more like a human being and had to rely on his eyesight rather than being the all-powerful creature he seemed to consider himself now. The candle lit up for a moment, and I got the first good look on the Vector's face. He was mad. Stark, raving, mad. Not the drooling, insipid kind of mad, with vacant inward eyes, locked inside a prison of the mind with blurred walls, but powerfully mad. A reason that had left his soul behind. Madness with a stare that is all edge and splinters. The radiant kind of mad. The infectious kind that reaches out to you with feverish fingers. I grasped the fractal bomb again, more tightly this time. Welcome to the Eloi homeworld. I've been expecting you, he stated matter-of-factly after he had sent his guards away. The silence hung heavily in the old temple room, accentuated by the reverb from its walls. The shadows between the pillars watched, motionless, helpless even, maybe. Did you know I was coming? I responded. He tilted his head in a peculiar manner, and waited for a second with his reply. It doesn't take a genius to understand that Gallifrey sooner or later would send someone. They had to. And don't you want to know why I'm here? But again, he only shifted his head. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? The Time Lords want to find out how and what I'm doing, whether I'm a danger to them or to anyone else. And if so, you have orders to, as they put it, terminate me with extreme prejudice. A hint of a smile played around his lips. That's the logical thing to do, wouldn't you agree? I nodded. Only now I noticed that the Vector was naked. I saw the moving flesh of his body, skin and muscles, lit by the candle and the diffuse, sullen rays of the galaxy. It looked as if the Vector was changing in and out of existence before my eyes. But there was something else I noticed, a small, pulsating red light. It came from a little box which hung from a string around his neck and which he currently held in his palm. What kind of device was this? Wouldn't you agree? He repeated with insistence, since I had lost myself in contemplation. Then he seemed to get bored and continued. The Time Lords, which one sent you? I didn't think it could hurt, so I answered truthfully, Chancellor Barusa and Castellan Kellner. The answer, in all its banality, seemed to please the Vector. He shifted his body and seemed a little relaxed. I would have had you killed on the spot if you had lied, he told me. I swallowed a little harder. It would be a good idea to humor the Vector. But you speak the truth. Who else would send you? And what did they tell you about me? Not much, I decided to stick with the truth as I went. An experiment gone wrong. You stole a TARDIS. He replied, Naturally. They wouldn't tell you the interesting part. I heard a sound from his direction. Unsure whether it was a hoarse laugh or a cough. What sort of experiment they had exposed me to? Don't you want to know before you go on with my eradication in the name of the High Council? The Time Lords control space and time, as you well know. Barusa's latest idea was to control the mind as well. Not exactly novel, but at least he went on about it in an unusual manner. His plan was to expose the innermost thoughts of everyone as a key to bring peace about in the world. Aren't misunderstandings the beginning of all trouble and strife, he used to say. Kellner, always the practical man, had chimed in and said how much more effective discussions would be if we understood each other at all times. Not too absurd, don't you think? I remained silent, and the Vector went on. So, they set me in an apparatus and turned on the power. But it wasn't quite as workable as they had envisioned. It felt as if my brain was ripped apart and as if every single neuron and nerve was torn in a different direction. Then they managed to turn the power down. I came to myself again, but this only led to a different kind of torture. He stopped. Yes, I had volunteered to take part in those experiments. He anticipated my question. But I didn't have the slightest idea how it would turn out. All of a sudden, I stood in the middle of 1,000 voices screaming at me. I could hear
Everybody thinking their most profound thoughts as well as their impulses, their instincts. And there was no way of shutting those voices down, of turning away from them.
He let the words hang in the stale, turbid air.
Didn't they do something about it?
He actually sobbed.
Yes, they did something about it. But it took them forever, long enough to make a saner man than me go crazy. They finally managed to turn the voices off in my head, but the damage was done.
Another pause of a second, and then the word that electrified me.
I had seen the truth. I had learnt it. And I have it in me.
The truth? What is it? I immediately inquired.
Which truth are we talking about?
The truth is different for every person. My truth is different from yours or from anybody else's out there. Even Baruta's truth is different, but I pass it out as I deem appropriate.
To the poor devils on the planet you have occupied, I only thought it. He gave me a thin smile.
Don't worry. I will let you have your truth as well. In time. And then you will understand me.
His voice balanced on a thread between a promise and a menace. It seemed I was not ready for it. The vector clapped his hands, and servants showed up and brought some food and drink. I ate a little and sipped some of the wine in silence, while the vector watched me from the shadows.